Alrighty then, here we are. It's a couple minutes past 8 o'clock. KPIG Freedom 107.5, KPYG Cayucas 94.9, KPIG.com. And, well, it is time right now for his morning commentary. So here is Travis T. Hip.
It is remarkable the clarity with which we can see and analyze the failures of various governments, nations, and societies around the world. That clarity comes indeed mostly from the distance between us. We know what it means for the Pashtun to decide to back the negotiations with Hamid Karzai's government in Kabul. And we have a pretty good idea that with the Hashid, the biggest tribe in Yemen, siding against the president, his time is limited. We even understand who it is that the generals in Italy that just abandoned Muammar Gaddafi's army in Libya actually are representing. But we don't know crap about what's going on south of our own border. In fact, almost everything that we are fighting against and watching happen in the rest of the world is happening in spades south of Tijuana. The governor of Guerrero province this last week requested that the federal government allow him greater leeway in licensing civilian firearms to be carried by his population who fear that the drug wars might catch them up and without being able to defend themselves. Sort of a Second Amendment issue. What they don't tell you is that the federal government has for the last 50-plus years been trying to disarm the people of Guerrero, who have never really accepted anything that they couldn't bribe in the way of federal intervention. The federales could appoint people and have political leadership and things, but if they didn't take bribes and look the other way from whatever it was that the locals wanted to do, they weren't going to last long. And Guerrero is only one state. The Mayans in the southern provinces, Chiapas, the Sinaloa scene, the Oaxacan seizure of the city last year, in the wake of a teacher's strike. All of this contributes to a situation in which the federal government of Mexico is failing. The State Department's favorite phrase for poor, unfortunate third world countries is failed states. Well, let me tell you, folks, the federated government of Mexico is failed. Which you can decry it or you can try and figure out what to do about it, but you aren't going to be able to do anything about it. So we better learn to live with it. Who is going to emerge in Mexico in charge, and how do we, the Americans north of the border, deal with them? A fence ain't going to get it. Immigration reform might be able to ease the population problems of the civilians, but the drogueros, the gangs, are going to continue to fight for territorial control of the only real national gross international product of Mexico, which is drugs, production of which or smuggling of which. And it's, you know, you can see from our history the end results. The organized crime of America, generated from prohibition by and large, created gang wars over territory that eventually were negotiated between the bosses of the Gambino and other families as to who was in charge in Philadelphia and who had the territory in Rhode Island. In Chicago, who was in charge on the north side? Just ask Bugs Moran. All of that eventually smoothed itself out. Everybody knew who everybody else was and respected them in order to keep the peace, in order to make a lot of money. That's where the game is going to go in Mexico. And like organized crime, once they settle it down, it will work reasonably well as compared to the current corruption down there. Chicago, I was in Chicago in the early days of the first of the dailies, when organized crime had settled into a simple part of the society and worked reasonably well at keeping everybody happy, from the patrolman on the beat all the way up to the mayor. Autonomous is the name of the game. And if Guerrero province wants to be ruled by its local drug lords, if Chiapas wants to go back to being some sort of a nativist government or socialist, whichever, let them be and try and deal with them on a realistic level, which is try not to shoot each other or anybody else, and maybe we can all just get along. And that's enough news for now. I'm Travis T. Hip on the Pig on the Radio. None of the foregoing commentaries and opinions have in any way reflected reality as perceived by this station, its management, owners, sponsors, or staff, but are solely the responsibility of myself and Cabal News Services.
We're here in Mexico City playing a concert in solidarity with all those struggling for a dignified life here in Mexico. As many of you are aware, there's a revolution happening in southeast Mexico. In Chiapas, a state rich in resources but poor in standard of living, there are those who will no longer accept the poverty that the current system offers them. These people are known as the Zapatistas. The oldest of the old and the indigenous communities say that there was once a man named Zapata who rose up with his people and sang out land and freedom. These old campesinos say that Zapata did not die, that he must return. The old campesinos also say that the wind, the rain, and the sun tell them when to cultivate the land, when to plant, and when to harvest. They say that hope is also planted and harvested. They also say that the wind, the rain, and the sun are now telling them something different, that after so much poverty, the time has come to harvest rebellion instead of death. Zapatistas first spoke to the world on January 1st, 1994. Their word carried the echoes of a 500-year struggle for the basic elements of human dignity. The Mexican government responded to these demands by launching a U.S.-backed campaign of violence and oppression against the people of Chiapas. There is once again revolution in Mexico. And the Zapatistas remind us that we must hold governments responsible for their support of oppressive regimes like the one in Mexico.
Like that, the fifth sunset, get back, proclaim, got driven out quite.
In order to join the North American Free Trade Agreement, the Mexican government reversed the hard-fought victories of the revolution by rewriting Article 27 of their constitution, which guaranteed land distribution to the poor.
Bury the past, rob us blind, and leave nothing behind!
As a result, the communal lands could be taken from the indigenous and sold to the highest bidding multinational corporation. Because these lands are vital to their way of life, the people of Chiapas felt they had only one choice.
Nuestra disyuntiva no es entre la guerra o la paz, sino entre una vida digna o una vida indigna.
Beginning on February 11th, the ruling party, along with the head administrator of Mexico's largest public university, announced a massive increase of tuition, and with it, threatened to destroy the long-standing right for free public education. In the spirit of the Zapatistas and the movement of 68, the students responded in mass to defend their rights. Holding strong, they called for demonstrations involving thousands of students and workers who poured into the city's center. The struggle reached a high point when, in the face of police repression, the students on April 20th seized control of the largest university in Latin America, the National Autonomous University of Mexico. Barricading themselves inside, they shut down 95% of its facilities, raising red and black banners, declaring a general strike.
Receive the lies, run through every fucking wall. Culture is well kept.
he learned at school. You're right, eat my book to swing on. Get out of thing from it, yet I hang from it. Gotta get it together, thing. Like a motherfucking weatherman. Spools and flows into a tunnel to try. Swing them and mangle the truth. Now that's all gonna be trick continues unless we react. We gotta take the power back.
So how many people joined us out in front of the Democratic National Convention? I never seen so many fucking cops in my life. It's like everybody knows that every woman out there, only thing we were out there to do is express how much we hate both the Democrats and the Republicans. Because they sold this fucking country out. And by expressing our right to resist, what do? They open fire on a crowd. I don't care what fucking television station said that the violence was caused by people at the concert. Those motherfuckers unloaded on this crowd. And I think it's ridiculous, considering, you know, none of us had rubber bullets. None of us had M16s. None of us had billy clubs. None of us had face shields. All we had was our fists, our voices, our microphones, our guitars, our drums, our timbales, and whatnot. And anytime we get beaten in the streets for protesting, we try to take it to the court system, and the court system don't want to hear it. Look at what happened to Amadou Diallo in New York. They shot that brother 41 times and let all four officers go. It's time for some new type of action in this country.
It's something nice and friendly. It goes a little something like this.
Fuck the police, coming straight out the underground. A young nigga got his bed cause I'm brown. And all the undercover so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that shit cause I ain't the one for a poor motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on and thrown in jail. We can go toe to toe in the middle of a cell. Fuck it with me cause I'm a teenager with a little bit of gold and a pager. My car, think of every bottle, is selling narcotics.
Throughout the world, a new popular movement is emerging to resist the poverty, ecological destruction, and political oppression brought by the increasing power of large corporations and the policies of the World Trade Organization, the World Bank, and the International Monetary Fund. On November 30th, 1999, this movement gained international attention when 70,000 demonstrators converged in the streets of Seattle to shut down the annual meeting of the World Trade Organization. The U.S. Constitution guarantees the right to assemble and speak out against injustice. But when demonstrators in Seattle sought to exercise this right, the police responded with pepper spray, tear gas, concussion grenades, rubber bullets, beatings, and arrests. Over 600 people were jailed and thousands suffered injuries during 3 days of police violence. In the face of the worst police violence in years, the nonviolent demonstrators succeeded in disrupting the WTO meeting and preventing the body from advancing its pro-corporate agenda. On April 16, 2000, the movement again made headlines when it descended upon Washington, D.C. to protest the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, two bodies that have increased poverty and suffering in poor countries for over 50 years.
This is the new sound, just like the old sound.
These events demonstrate that there is a growing awareness of the interconnectedness of the world's economies and of the need to organize across borders to stand up against those who put profits ahead of people's lives.
Revolution is now for God!
After years of struggle outside the public view, the movement to end corporate globalization has taken center stage, giving voice to the demand for life with dignity, spoken by the Zapatistas and millions of other poor people around the world who dare to say, enough.